Kerry Bolton is Australia's most respected exit strategy advisor and CEO of the Exit Strategy Group. Welcome.
I'm really thrilled today to be talking to Leanne O'Connor, who has a fabulous business called Systems and People. But I'm not going to tell you much about it. I'm going to let Leanne do that. So can you give us a little bit of a background about Systems and People, how you started and all the inspiration?
Sure. So I did an IT degree at university, and I started off working at BHP, actually, and they taught me a programming language there called ABAP, which is a part of SAP, and 90% of the world's transactions now run through an SAP system. So 2 years after that, I started contracting, being an independent consultant, and I found a bit of a niche in the market, I guess, whereby I thought that a recruitment business run by someone that was actually in the industry and knowing what the client's needs were and the candidate needs was a bit of a gap. So I started the business in 1995 when I was 24 years old, so quite young, had no idea what it would become 20 years or almost 20 years later. So I stayed working as a consultant for about 8 years after that, because it was a bit of a challenge when you're starting a business. Often financially, it's very difficult to give up your full-time job and guaranteed earnings for something that, you know, is a bit pie in the sky not guaranteed financially. So it took me until 2003, when we had 15 consultants working in the company, to give up my full-time earnings and focus on the business. So 10 years later, we have a national recruitment consulting and contractor management business, offices in Melbourne and Sydney, and we employ over 230 consultants and 11 full-time staff. So grown.
That is fantastic, actually. Yeah. It's a really good success story. So and finding that right niche, in particular recognising it and being able to take it to the next level is inspirational to a lot of people. So What do you think that would be, say, the three things in particular that people should know about starting and growing a business?
And I didn't really know this at the time, but looking back, I think in hindsight, setting the structure up to start with is really important. So, speak to experts about how you should actually hold your shareholding, because in the future, when you actually do exit your business and sell your business, there are some pretty significant taxation implications for holding the shares in your own name versus a superannuation fund or a family trust. So sort of the things everyone gets passionate and excited about starting a business, and that's probably the thing that they don't really think about. And I didn't think about that, initially. I think it's important to understand the market that you want to operate in, your competitors, the legal and regulatory framework and rules and regulations around that, some of the barriers to entry. So some of the more structural things about the industry that you're in. With that as well, don't be afraid to get advice early on from the experts. You're not meant to know it all yourself. I think another important thing is you need to love what you do. I've always been a pretty firm believer of money is the result of doing what you love really well. So you have to have lots and lots of passion. There's lots of ups and downs, so you have to be prepared for a lot of hard work. In terms of the business itself, you need to have a great brand. You need to be able to articulate and differentiate yourself, your point of difference, your business, and to be able to differentiate yourself to your competitors, and always deliver quality to your clients or the market that you're going to. This is the fourth thing, but don't be afraid. A wise person once told me, fearless is good.
Absolutely right. Couldn't agree with you more. You know, there's a definition, isn't there, of fear, false expectations appearing real.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
And everything you want is on the other side of fear.
Yes. So, yeah, absolutely. Go for it. No, that's very wise words indeed. And did you actually think about longer term when you started your business? Did you actually think about then, did you begin with the end in mind, or was it a case of just go for it?
Look, I think when I started my business, I was really excited to get letterhead and business cards printed, and I just thought I'd made it totally from doing that. So in hindsight now, and always now in terms of the last couple of years in preparing to exit the business or sell my business, then begin with the end in mind, you know, even though the beginning then was, you know, a few years later, was really at the forefront of what you should be doing. You know, in hindsight, I think you should always be thinking about what the end game is for you, and that is different for lots of different people, and it depends on what type of business you had as well. But, you know, back at 24 years old, yeah, everything was an accident then, I guess, in terms of, you know, just being young and, yep, and having lots of passion. So I think then I had a lot more passion and drive and less planning, less, yes, structural. Those sort of things came later with maturity, and as I met more people in the industry, and I had some, very lucky to have some great mentors that assisted me along the way. So
that's terrific. And did you actively seek those mentors, or did you find they just sort of appeared almost when you needed them?
Yeah, I think one great person who's been my mentor for 5 years, he appeared by accident, and it was great that he happened to be, you know, a peer within my own industry, so I think that really helped. Early on I did undertake some business coaching, which, you know, was quite helpful to an extent, and I did that for sort of a year or so. Again, I think it's more helpful if that coaching is within your own industry. I think they have a better understanding of, you know, the challenges you face in the general market. But yeah, I suppose I didn't actively, you know, go out and seek a mentor. And, you know, in hindsight, maybe that would have been better too. I think you get there in the end. But yeah, there's certainly along the way there are some things that you could always have done better.
Yeah, which is, you know, always a reflection at any time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you, just now maybe jumping forward a little bit in terms of the exit strategy, you mentioned that you, as you were thinking about it, just really only a couple of years ago, was that sort of when it came to mind that you wanted to move out of the business?
Yeah, I think for me, look, some days you catch me every day I want to exit out of the business, but, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs, but sensibly, for me, it was a number in my head of my age. It wasn't, I need to get to, you know, $5 million EBIT or $10 million EBIT, or I have to have 500 consultants or what. It was never a financial number, and it wasn't even so much as a financial number of what I would get for the business. I mean, that's always a big consideration in terms of, okay, I'd like this to retire comfortably, so it needs to be worth this, and work your way up to that. I mean, you need to definitely think about that as well. But for me, and I think in large transactions as well, often you're not paid a consideration for your business to walk away. You're actually paid for future earnings in larger transactions. So, in fact, an exit date is not a sale date. A sale date is first, and an exit date can be up to 3 to 5 years down the track. So not only, you know, do you need to be sort of preparing for that 2 to 3 years beforehand, then you still need to make a commitment to that business for 3 to 5. So you add the two together and you get your age, and you think, okay, you know, that's when I might like to
take the foot off the pedal a little
that's
bit.
That's right, yeah, and you know, work, but, you know, a bit more on your own terms.
Mm, absolutely. And in terms of your situation, did you strategically have in mind someone, another, like some, whoever might purchase your business? Was it a strategic decision?
Yeah, I think it is always important to know what your business is worth at any time. I mean, what your business is one of your most important assets. It's probably your most valuable asset, more than, you know, the shares that you own or the home that you own, etc. So it really needs to be managed the same way, or more importantly than those assets. So I always made a conscious effort to understand what was happening out there in the market in terms of M&A activity, and I think that's very important to keep your eye on that. What businesses sell for, how are they valued, you know, what multiples are paid. Generally, businesses are bought on multiples. and what sort of things can affect the valuations of those businesses. Often, you know, that's down to market conditions. It's very hard to sell a business in a GFC versus, you know, the economy going well. And even in economies that aren't going well, some businesses still sell well because of the industry that they're in. So it's important to understand those factors. You know, I think for any business, there are always the right suitors that want to acquire those types of businesses. So you need to think about who those suitors would be and sit, you know, on their side of the fence and see what they would be after, you know, in an effort to sort of prepare your business for sale.
Absolutely. And sometimes you can't predict the timing either, can you? If you've actually structured your business in a way that is, it's always ready to be sold, sometimes there might be a surprise that comes from left field.
Well, that's right. And in terms of that, it's always preparing your business for sale, then when an opportunity does come along, you're ready for it. And you should always be open for opportunities because, other people have certain strategic reasons for doing things, for paying more for things than they should at certain times. And if you're lucky enough for that to happen to you, then you probably should look seriously at it, even if you might not have thought you're ready for it.
Yeah.
But I generally think, you know, trust your gut, and if it's right, it will feel right. So
absolutely. So in your experience now, you have you've had your business structured ready for sale for a few years now, you know, and the opportunity is there. The deal is done.
Yes.
But there's still some time, isn't there, for you to be around before you can actually exit the business, as you said. Yeah. What about the employees? How's it been received?
Yeah, so, look, I've got quite an open management style. I've got a very loyal group of employees that we're also, you know, I'm quite good friends with. We've been through a lot of ups and downs. This industry is pretty tough and, you know, brings out the best and worst in people a lot. So I've always been quite honest with them as to what, you know, my plans are, and I've tried to instill those type of behaviours in them about, you know, how you should go about things, etc., as I'd want them to do the same thing if they had a business and wanted to sell it, etc. They look at me every day and know that I'm not getting any younger either, so it's only a matter of time.
Don't think you're over the hill yet.
But I guess, you know, I've always been quite transparent in trying to give them more responsibility and take myself out of the detail of the business, which is one of the most important things in terms of getting the most value out of your business. Mm-hmm. And I think that's provided them with some wonderful opportunities. A, not to be micromanaged by me. B, to actually do their own thing, make their own mistakes and their own achievements. And so that's given them a lot of opportunity and confidence within the business, so that's been a good thing. Look, we did not lose any staff as a result, as a direct result of the acquisition. So I think you need to be honest with your staff. I mean, the main thing is people get worried is fear and uncertainty. So if you're going to lay any of those fears and uncertainty, I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And they would maybe, do they see some progression with their own careers with the acquisition as well?
Absolutely. And I think many smaller business owners or single director companies struggle with the fact that they're big but small. So I think being part of a wider group with more opportunity and now being an ASX listed organisation, it's easier for those guys to run their individual business in terms of sales. They have a bigger company behind them. There's more people in the office. They've met different people. So I think it's everyone has grown through this process. So I think it's only really positive.
And it's a win-win, really, isn't it?
For
all around. And I think the fact that you practiced an open management style has no doubt made it a lot easier, rather than it sort of being secretive and being hidden.
Yeah,
to
dragging
some
people into a boardroom at 9 a.m. and telling them, you know, what had happened. And I've been quite open with as far as I could be in terms of confidentiality with my clients as well, and they've been very supportive as well.
So now, from your experience, what would be some of the common problems that you think people might face when they're thinking about exiting their businesses?
Probably,
if they're thinking about it, I suppose is one of the issues.
That's true. Yes. That's true. You should always be thinking about it. But I guess fear of the unknown. I think and particularly with one or two or family run business or a sole principal, I think it's an emotional thing. A lot of times these businesses have been run like mine for 18 years. It's like you've brought up a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a fear of loss. It's not financial. It's there might be a bit of ego there involved. You know, how do I let go of this baby? So I think emotionally and internally there are a lot of issues to grapple with, other than the structural and financial and business types of things. I think it will be, what will I do next? How will I have an identity outside of systems and people? Because it's just been all consuming, and will I still be liked and, exist without this organisation? I think that's probably...
It's such a valid point, yeah. Because it is your identity is tied up in your business, and that is so much the case with so many business owners. And I faced it myself when I sold my business, which is 20 years ago now. So you do face that, and it takes quite a while to actually adjust, to make the adjustment. And
there's a couple of other things. I suppose you always think that, and this is part of the reasons why a lot of people can't get the value out of their business they should, is they think no one can do it better than them. So, that's a bit of a fear of having someone else come in, or how will the new regime work, etc. And another problem, of why, people might be apprehensive of selling their business and might not be able to sell their business as well, is that everyone thinks their business is always worth more than it is. So, again, like selling houses or, common in that industry, having a realistic expectation of what your business is worth, I think, is really helpful too.
And do you think it's worthwhile using somebody who's an M&A expert or a business broker? Did that happen for you, or did you...
Look, indirectly it did. I was approached, so I didn't have to go to... I knew there were plenty around in the industry, and I had been approached by a number of parties that, could offer my business for sale, and you'd need to do a memorandum and, all that sort of thing. So I didn't have to go through that process. I think that's a more proactive process if you actually really do want to sell your business. So I think for me it was more, yes, I'm open to selling my business, but they came to me, so it was a bit different. But I certainly did seek and pay for help in terms of negotiating the offer, the term sheet, the legal contracts, etc. And I think that is a wise person once said to me, buy the best lawyer and accountant money can buy when you're in business, and I really have done that over the years, and it's very important because they are there to protect your interests, and it is a huge, for some people, a huge financial transaction, and it could be the last big payday some people ever get, and it's very important to what you do with that money afterwards, but very important to ensure that your interests are protected during the process as well.
And I think what you've said there is really touched on a point, in that understanding and knowing how to actually extract the wealth from what you've created, as opposed to enjoying the cash flow from the business as you've grown it and enjoyed the benefits along the way. The true wealth, the biggest payday you get, is in fact when you sell the business.
Yeah. And I've often... thought there'd be just nothing worse, and this happens to businesses all the time, whether they're milk bars or corporations or family run businesses, people retire, etc., financial advisors. There'd be nothing worse, I think, than just working your whole life and putting everything and all the sacrifices you make into a business, and then just well, letting it die a slow death or just shutting up shop. Or, you know, I think you do want to be rewarded for what you've done at the end as well as having the cash flow along the way. That's always great, obviously. And I think that's why you really need to be, you know, thinking about a number of things that can maximise the value of your business.
And not letting it too late. That's the main thing. Something I read recently as well was that always leave something there for the next person. So you're far better off to be selling when you're in a growth phase rather than when you've just reached the top of the cycle and it's about to head into the other
because,
side of the
curve. You know, the people that look through your books, you know, they're smarter than me. They're very smart people. And, you know, people are in business to make money as well. And, you know, I couldn't lie straight in bed if I thought I'd sold them a lemon or, you know, wasn't committed to staying and assisting in them, because they've paid for the future of that business. So, you know, the right thing to do is to assist, you know, in the next person, as you say, leave something on the table for the next person and to get those rewards as well.
Tell me, that we've touched on this a little bit, and that's about what's next in terms of the individual. So you're going to be in the business now for another 3 years, is it?
Three years.
Thereabouts.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, that might change anyway after that, because I guess it's something that can always be negotiated. But then the sale is finalised, but what happens after that is different. But and you talked about it from a personal point of view about the identity. Have you given some thought to what's next?
Look, not really. Obviously, you know, I'm in a different situation. I'm still quite young.
Yes.
I still have school age, one primary school age child. So the difference for me, as opposed to, you know, a baby boomer, is that I still have to stay in one spot and raise children. Can't go gallivanting all around the world and, you know, in the south of France every week, etc. So for me, I think it's a little bit of a different scenario, and it will differ for everyone depending on their personal situation. So, look, I'd like to slow down and smell the roses, although I'll be bored in a week.
You will.
So, and I think a lot of business people, that's why they have that fear of, what will I do now, and will I be a worthy person in society? Because you know, you're not busy all the time. So I think the main thing I will do is not rush into anything, just to be busy. I think just try and take a little bit of time out, or keep working, which I'm more than happy to do, but a bit more on, you know, my terms. And I think in terms of, you know, the succession planning, which is really, really important in order to sell your business, you need to make sure that there's not one single point of failure in your business and you're not working in the detail of your business, that you're easily replaceable to get the most value out of your business. And even now, when I'm still in the business, always I need to be putting that structure underneath me, so that if and when, you know, I do, when I'm contractually free or unobligated, that that structure is in place so that I can go.
Absolutely. So what do you think people can do to stay on top of that process, that whole succession planning?
So I guess, you know, put the right people, processes and strategy in place. And that's, you know, that you should always be thinking about doing that. You know, the business shouldn't revolve around you. Again, no single point of failure. And that's in lots of, you know, single director or family businesses, that's always the case. A lot of business owners spend a lot of time doing everything. I've been everything from the cleaner to the CIO, CFO, admin, salesperson, and everything in between in this business. Now, and it's hard to let go of doing those sorts of things, but I probably think that's the most important thing.
So the name of the business is Systems and People. There it will be an underlying assumption that you've got systems in place for everything. Is that correct?
It would be, wouldn't it? Hey, even BHP is run on spreadsheets, so I know this. I think even up to a year ago when we implemented new systems, I have an IT degree, so you would think that would be at the top of the priority list. And look, it is, but it's not always easy to do those things. And I think there's a fantastic array of products out there now on the market that are subscription based. Even you don't have to pay for technology up front. You can pay per. We do that with our payroll system at the moment, and so there are some wonderful things out there which you can put in place to almost cookie cut your business and automate it, so that and the way the world's going, so that you can get someone that is less skilled in that position, they cost less, etc., and they can still do a similar job as long as the processes are there.
Yeah, you've hit on it several times, and I think it's crucial that you do have to extract yourself and automate as much as you can, so that the value lies in the real skills that you're able to actually bring to the table with your people as well. So, yeah. It doesn't really matter what size your business is, because you can have a system that's written down on a piece of paper, or you can have a system that's on Google Drive, which that's is right. easy enough to do, yeah. isn't it?
These but days. Anything you do, you should be thinking about the scalability of it.
Correct.
Because,
again,
you never know how wildly successful you can be.
Correct. Absolutely. So let me ask you, what would be the key factors that you'd pass on to people now who would... to get extract the wealth and get the highest possible price that they could for their business?
First of all, get your house in order. So pretty boring stuff, but make sure you have really clean accounts. You'll have, in large transactions, you'll have auditors here for weeks and weeks. And, if you've paid for your kids' school fees, if you've done things like that, they're going to be found out. So, I've always run a very clean business, although I didn't have audited accounts. I mean, that's not a requirement in a private business. So that had to be done. But, that was a process. And I think start cleaning up the books, 2 to 3 years beforehand. You do need 3 years worth of historical earnings. Again, as you mentioned before, it's very important to show a company in growth and not decline. Mm-hmm. Your numbers get normalised, and the auditors and accountants do all sorts of things to your books. So you need to be able to really articulate reasons for growth or decline, etc., and really understand your business very well. Always hire people better than you. Now, this is very difficult. but I think there's Richard Branson. This is his philosophy. I've read a few of his books. Mm. And you need to keep trying to do that, even if it at first you sort of fail. But I think that's really important. That should always be the aim, to have good people behind you. And I've been lucky to have some really good people in my business. And... I think that's just the most important thing in any business. So, again, we've talked about removing yourself from the detail of your business, not having any one single point of failure. I think a lot of people, they don't really have a business, they have a job. So, because without their personal impact on the business, it shouldn't be called a business. It's just you bought yourself a job. So I think it's very important to think about what a business really means, and a business runs without its principles. It has recurring revenue, has growth. Be able to demonstrate that the business is more than you. Mm. And that's how you get the true wealth, I think, out of your business.
That's fantastic. So is there anything else you'd like to add, given the thought processes that we've been through, maybe a few of the little things that we've teased out? Mm. You've made yourself some fabulous notes, I can see.
I have.
We covered...
I always need my notes.
Which is good. I do too. So have we covered points that you thought of?
I think we've covered everything. I think, look, it's a very personal decision. Mm. And maybe because I am a woman, I'm a bit more emotional about these things than men approach it. I spent endless nights worrying about whether it's the right thing and were the people that were buying at the right people and could I work with them and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, worried about all those sorts of things, staff and was, you know, getting the right money for it, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's no really right or wrong answer. It's what really feels right for you in the end. But, yeah, again, don't be afraid to. You don't have to do it alone. So there's a lot of really smart people out there that will give you words of advice, and most of them don't even charge you for it, you know. So I think, you know, that's my other thing. I've learnt, I've met some very successful people over this journey, people that I'd be too scared to talk to normally, but, you know, everyone is more than happy to help people in a similar situation or, you know, add their views on things. So I've been very blessed to do what I love for many years and get rewarded really well for it. So, yeah, I've helped, like to think that I've helped a lot of people along the way, my clients, my candidates, my internal staff, and that gives me a lot of satisfaction. So, and again, you know, I'd like to see the next group of entrepreneurs come through. I'd like them to be female. I employ a lot of good females. and yeah, I think, you know, like having children, it's important to leave a legacy. So I hope I've left a legacy in some way or, you know, someone's been able to learn something from me in this process as well.
It really is interesting, the thought processes that people go through. If I could just take you off on a slight tangent, which I have to apologise not for warning you about, but it's basically come out of
this
the conversation. We can cut it out if you don't want it, so that's okay. Just from a woman's perspective, and I know you have young children, and the business obviously was there before the children, and you know, husband who's got his own business as well. What are some of the real challenges that has created? Mm. Because it does create challenge, and I think there'd be a lot of women out there who'd be really interested to see sort of how you coped and managed that and the processes that you went through.
So when I actually worked in the business full-time, so when I mentioned in 2003 when I quit my job, I'd just given birth to my second child. And I thought, oh, this will be great, systems and people. I can spend so much time with my children because I'll be able to work from home. And at first, I did. And that probably lasted about 2 months. And then I didn't see them for 12 years. So that's always weighed quite heavily on me. And I think as a mother and a woman, I think, look, men do this every day. They go to work every day and they don't see the kids for 60 hours a week. But for me, I always felt very, very guilty about that. And I did have a wonderful partner that had supported me through that. And, you know, I think that's really important to where it makes sense. If you're the prime income earner, it shouldn't matter whether you're a male or a female, then you really should be the one working. That just made sense to us. And but it didn't come without its hardships and you know, spousal arguments and you know, kids are screaming and I've got, you know, I was in the hospital giving birth and, you know, the phone's ringing and, you know, it's just it's all consuming. And I think it is difficult to manage everything. And, you know, I've never weighed into the argument of we can have it all. I actually don't really think we can, or I think we can, but not without guilt. So I think that's probably one of the main things that, looking back, you know, my mother-in-law has a poster in her toilet that says you can always make more money, but you can't buy more time. And I'm sure she put it in there for me. But so every time I go there, I feel extra guilty because I think that's true. But I like to think, you know, what I've created as well for our family, and again in my motivations of wanting to be young enough to exit this business, is so I can spend more time with them, spend time doing some great things that we love that ordinarily we wouldn't be able to afford, and as a, you know, payback, I guess, or, you know, so while they're still wanting to spend time with us as well. So, you know, in terms of, you know, in the business world, I've never felt disadvantaged because I'm a woman. It is definitely a man's world, particularly in IT and in the industry that we're in. And I think it's getting, you know, more and more important for equality in workplaces, etc. But certainly I've never felt that there's been a glass ceiling or anything on me because I'm a woman. As every working mother does, whether they're, you know, working, you know, at the corner shop down the road or whether they're, you know, Gail Kelly from Westpac, I think we all have the same challenges.
Mm, absolutely right. Probably women have more challenges than men in the business world, I think, those mothers in particular, you know, with that.
Well, yeah, they, and particularly if they have another partner that's working full time, I think, yeah, they're often still the primary caregiver as well as the primary worker as well as the primary, you know, housekeeper and all those things. So, look, it is a big challenge, but again, look, I wouldn't change it really for anything. And it's those sorts of things are very personal decisions. And, you know, I'm not here to say the right or wrong way to do it because some days I'm crying in a ball in the corner about what I should have done and I should have made this. But again, I think running your own business and having your own business, I think, look, I'd always encourage anyone to run their own business because the flip side of that is there is so much flexibility into having a normal job with the boss because I've still always been able to go to the sport meet and the school play and everything else. With that, so I think in terms of what you do miss out on, maybe as being a working mother and having those challenges, you do still get to go. You just might have to do your work at 9 and 10 o'clock at night when the kids are in bed, and you know we all do that, and we just do what it takes to get the job done.
So. Absolutely, and I think we both want to encourage women as entrepreneurs to get out
Absolutely.
There and go for it
because it. I mean, I'm living proof, but it definitely can be done. Mm. But you have to be super organised.
And therein lies a really good quality.
That's right. And, you know, it is going to be hard, so you need to be able to ride the bumps. Mm. And I think that's resilience is just one of the most important traits that anyone can have in business. So, yeah, ride the bumps and, you know, the rewards will be there.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Leanne. Very
Pleasure.
Inspirational, really inspirational, and I know a lot of people will get a lot of out of what we've just talked about today because a Leanne O'Connor is not on every street corner. You're very special. Thank you.
If you don't have a copy of Kerry's new book, The Uncensored Truth About Exit Strategies, please visit freeexitstrategybook.com.au.